SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three has begun. This is Sports Rage. I'm Moretzi. 4-1 for the Dodgers right now. Bottom of the sixth inning. Dodgers have a runner on first base. And there is nobody out. We'll keep our eye on this. Speaking of baseball, a lot of weird stuff on Twitter I saw tonight. We could have racked up. We got a bunch of cool stuff saved for tomorrow, even for the best of X, because otherwise it just would have been all videos tonight. But this is like a really weird one that I saw, and obviously, you know, you got to fact check everything, but people have been, for the most part, and it seems to be pretty accurate here. So Nick Castellanos, baseball player, and when he hits home runs, which is just like bizarre, he hit his first career home run the same day that Osama bin Laden was killed, all right? So, all right, you know, talking about getting lost in a news cycle. He's also hit home runs on the same day that Tom Brennan issued the apology for the homophobic slur that he used on a broadcast. He hit a home run on the same day that Dwayne Haskins passed away. He hit a home run when Vin Scully died, the day that Scully died. He hit a home run the day the Ocean Gate submarine exploded underwater. He hit a home run on he had two home runs on the anniversary of Hiroshima. He hit a home run the day that Trump got shot, and he hit a home run the day that Biden withdrew from the race. Like, I'm actually leaving a few out here. Like, it's like I can go on. He hit a home run when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock the same day. Like, it's actually like, this is incredible. Like, basically, whenever he hits a home run, something weird in the world happens. One of the craziest things ever. You want to see the, it's almost unbelievable. You're like, no. It says, oh, yeah, he hit a home run the day the bridge collapsed. Unbelievable stuff here as far as Nick Castellanos and his track record of what happens on days when he hits home runs. If you want to see it, I tweeted it out. You can read it for yourself. So we got baseball going on. The Olympics are set to begin, and in the next Olympics in 2028, they're going to be in Los Angeles, which is going to be super cool, super expensive, but super cool. And of course, NFL players are going to be in the Olympics, and we're going to discuss this a little bit. Man, the San Francisco Giants are idiots. There was just a pop foul ball behind home plate, and the catcher and pitcher, or the catcher and the third baseman, who was it? Anyways, they just collided and dropped the ball. That's like mid-season, yeah, as a third baseman. This is like, it's a Chapman. This is like mid-season. I was just talking about this earlier at the top of the program, about like some baseball teams, when things aren't going well, it's just a freaking grind. And there it is right there with the Giants, right? You're having a rough year. You're down 4-1. You're losing to the Dodgers. Routine out to Ohtani, and you let him off the hook because you collide behind home plate. But they just got Ohtani swinging, so no harm, no foul. Shohei Ohtani just struck out. What's this? Father and son in Oakland were pissed that the Astros walked Lawrence Butler when he was a single shy of the cycle. Yeah, whatever. It's a cold world. it's a cold world. Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. The Twisted Tuesday rolls on. Our boy Rick Saratella is going to step up today. We got some football talk to get to. We'll talk NFL football. Maybe a little college football, talk a little CFL football as well. Countdown to the Olympics is on. Forget about what the mainstream media tells you about how the Olympics start on Friday with the opening ceremonies. Wrong. There's actually soccer games going on in the morning. Countdown is on. And in fact, we're less than 12 hours away right now. And the United States of America take on France. Men's soccer, not exactly an easy task for the American team. Speaking of U.S. soccer, Alexi Lawless says that he wants to coach, and he wants to be the manager and a coach of the U.S. national team, so much so that he'll even do it for free, which will be even more embarrassing, bro, when they don't want you, even if it's for free. We got Major League Baseball going on, but countdown to the Olympics rolling. And the 2028 Olympics are in Los Angeles, California, and a cool addition will be flag football. I think when it was initially announced, and I was right away excited about it because I knew how big it actually was going to end up being, I think a lot of people just sort of thought, well, this is dumb, and what's flag football going to be? Flag football is one of the fastest growing participation sports right now, not just in America, in the world. Like, flag football is busting out. Obviously, girls' flag football is massive, but boys' flag football getting bigger and bigger. And you can tell by the National Football League and the amount of money that they're spending on flag football right now and the push that they're giving flag football right now. The National Football League is, you know, is a behemoth. It's a power. And obviously, along with soccer, it's the biggest entity in the sports world. But at the same point in time, they've never been associated with the biggest brand in the sports world like everybody else has, and that's the Olympic brand. And now they will be. And big-time NFL players, or a lot of players, are talking about how they want to be on the U.S. flag football team. And don't think that the other countries won't be competitive, but just think about the dynamic of breaking it down. Who's actually going to be, who's the quarterback of the U.S. team? Patrick Mahomes has said he'd like to be the quarterback, but he also said, you know, I'm going to be too old in 2028, and they're not going to want me. Joe Burrow is on record as stating that he'd like to be the quarterback of the U.S. team. It's a win-win situation for everybody. Number one, it'll be a lot of fun. Number two, it'll showcase and highlight the National Football League globally like they never have showcased before. Number three, it'll be an opportunity for NFL players to cash in as far as endorsements, sponsors on an Olympic level like this. And while you can get injured playing flag football, NFL teams won't have to worry so much about their players getting lit up. And hell, who knows? Maybe this is just a precursor, and down the road we'll actually have some real football in the Olympics, beside the soccer, which is real. So the Olympic ceremony's on Friday, but we have our first Olympic cheating and our first scandal. And don't look now, but the dirty Canadians, the cheating Canadians, are up to no good again. Memories of Ben Johnson. But all kidding aside, I didn't have this on my parlay card. So a member of Team Canada's soccer team, although very similar to the Michigan Connor Stallion stuff, not officially on our, you know, staff type of deal. Somebody with Team Canada, but not an accredited member of Team Canada, was detained in France because they were flying a drone over, like, it's a no-fly zone, right? It's a, you know, it's a big security terrorist hotspot, obviously. So there's a no-fly zone, and there's a drone flying around, and the drone was flying around, coincidentally, over Team New Zealand soccer practice. So evidently, Bill Belichick has found work in the offseason. Yes, he took his hot young girlfriend to Paris, but you know what? Team Canada's women's soccer team said, you know what? Let's bring in the best in the business here. I got to tell you, I tip my cap to the Team Canada women's soccer team that they're this freaking dedicated to trying to win the gold medal in women's soccer that they're actually flying drones over their opponents' practice sessions. Absolutely brilliant. I give him credit. We're all in. For the record, Canada are 20-1 to win the gold medal. Rick Saratella steps up and in. Let's do this thing. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. Let's do this thing. We're about to light the torch in Paris. The Olympics are set to begin in less than 24 hours. We've got men's soccer, USA and France, on Wednesday afternoon. We're ready to rock and roll. But, of course, the Summer Games in 2028 will be held in Los Angeles, California, and flag football will be one of the sports added to the Olympic Games in 2028. I was extremely excited when it was announced, knowing that the NFL was going to get behind this, and NFL players, of course, would want to be part of the Olympics in Los Angeles in a tournament in which they're not going to get hit. Doesn't mean they can't get injured, but there's, you know, they're not going to get hit. And a lot of people were like, oh, you'll see, no one's going to play in this, and it's just going to be, this is, you know, a dumb idea. And well, here we are right now, and the excitement is seriously building for 2028 flag football. Let's talk football, that and everything else going on in the world of football, with a scout with the Edmonton Elks, the founder of the NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com, and more. Rick Saratella in the house. What's up, Rick?
Hey, rolling it up on a Tuesday, lighting it up. I like it. And I'll tell you what, these football Olympics, to me, I think it's the biggest deal for the Olympic sport since the Dream Team. Remember 1992, the U.S. team was allowed to have NBA players. I think it's going to be that kind of a big deal.
You know what? And the NFL, you could tell just how much they're behind this by how much they're promoting flag football suddenly right now. They're very, very engaged in this. And you know, a lot of big-name players have come out and said, man, I would love to be in the Olympics. It's the one thing that the NFL hadn't had, to associate itself with the Olympic brand, right? And Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, Mahomes is a great quarterback, and he's also a smart guy, Rick, in which he said, I would love to be the quarterback for the U.S. in 2028, but I'll be too old and slow then, and they won't want me. And it sounds crazy to say, but it's kind of true. And you know, like, you know, the great prodigy right now is like 6 years old, and, you know, the future leader of the world is an 8-year-old playing in a playground right now. But you and I agree, Rick, the future quarterback of the 2028 U.S. flag football team, he's in college right now, right? Or, you know, it's Shedeur Sanders. It's the kid from Tennessee. You know what I mean? It's a player that's in high school right now. It's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out because so many current NFL players are talking about, like, A.J. Brown wants in. Justin Jefferson wants in. All these current guys want in. But 2028 is a long time away in football and athletic years, not in you and I years.
Well, yeah, and football is a young man's game. I mean, you know, 28 years old, you're ancient. And I would imagine with the flag football rules, they're going to be looking for speed and agility. A.J., pipe down. I don't know if you'll be up there with the young.
You can't run anyone over, bro. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how much separation A.J. Brown's going to be garnering in the Olympic Games, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the quarterback of that flag football team, he could be in middle school, he could be in high school, it could be in Arch Manning. It's going to be so fascinating, and it's going to be so unique. Like, who, like, let's get the odds right now. Who's going to be the first Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee with an Olympic gold medal in flag football? I mean, it's going to happen, right?
Wow, that's crazy. You're right. It's just a new Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, gold medalist, right? It just sort of, it adds to the repertoire. Yeah. It really does. And I'll tell you what, Rick, I think people are sort of thinking, listen, it's NFL players, but let's not kid ourselves. There's some good flag football teams in the world. Like, Mexico are really good right now. Like, there's, you know what I mean? There's guys that aren't in the NFL that have dedicated their lives to this stuff. And now you're a scout with the Edmonton Elks in the Canadian Football League, and there's a lot of excitement about the Canadian team and the potential that they could put together. And I think a quarterback on the Elks roster is a perfect fit for this. And he's still young, Trey Ford. He'd be perfect for Team Canada for this.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and how exciting would that be? And you're absolutely right. Like, I've been traveling and going to different workouts and practices and events and media days and the whole football community. Like, I know the hardcore football
fan. There's a buzz, huh?
There is. And the hardcore football fan, like, might chuckle a little bit on the inside. Like, okay, yeah, right, flag football. But I'm telling you, like, very serious-minded football people are behind this. You're right. It's a big, it's a billion-dollar initiative by the NFL over the last decade or so. And Roman Oben, shout out to him over there on Park Avenue, good friend of the show. I mean, he's been working on this flag football initiative for the past decade, and now you're seeing it come to fruition. This is the biggest deal to happen to the Olympics since they implemented wrestling.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. The 2028 Olympic Games. We're already looking ahead, and we haven't even started the 2024 Games yet. As far as the CFL is concerned, your Edmonton Elks made a coaching change. Former Notre Dame Fighting Irish quarterback Jarius Jackson takes over as the interim coach. Go on the road. Another tough loss. But back at it once again this week. But it's been a very, very difficult and taxing season, hasn't it, been for the Elk organization? Let's just call it out for what it is.
Well, when heads roll, it's never easy. But, you know, we still got a lot of football left. We're one-third through the way. And, you know, there are no easy games in the Canadian Football League. So, you know, listen, I feel the pain. I feel the fans' frustration. We had a short week on a home-at-home 5-day schedule. We had a new coach. Of course, G. Roy Simon got promoted to the interim GM. So, I mean, last week we really had one day of walkthrough and one day of real practice. It's nice to have a Sunday game and have some preparation time with everything, all the turnover and the changes. And, man, we're ready to get the second stretch of the season underway. And listen, if there's one positive, the standings have been kind to us. We're still within striking distance. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, 9 teams, 6 teams in the playoffs, and you're right, there's some teams that are really struggling as well to get it going. And there's a saying in the CFL, Rick, that the games don't really count until after Labor Day. And it's kind of true in a way. It's a long season, and this is something that the NFL is going to find itself with. An 18-game season, guys, really changes the dynamic of things. And the NFL Players Association, being the real fighters that they are willing to roll over and not even wait till the CBA is over to do this. Like, what? They are the biggest joke in like American labor history.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Reg. I am Renzi. Football, football, football. Awesome stuff. And it's amazing because anyone that tunes in and watches our show knows how excited we are for the Olympics. And the next Olympics, we're going to be able to combine our passion for the NFL and the CFL into the Olympic Games. It's going to be awesome. But countdown to kickoff is on the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans next Thursday, the Hall of Fame game. The New York Giants, of course, this year are featured on Hard Knocks. You and I have talked, and Rick's on the Jersey Shore, East Coast base, knows a lot about the Giants and the Eagles situations. I thought it's been a terrible look, Rick, for the Giants for the most part. You know, remember before on Hard Knocks, the one scene that always stuck out was Philbin. Philbin dealing with Ocho Cinco. And people were like, you know, that's pretty crazy the way you get cut in the NFL and just how cold it is. And, like, why would they do that on camera? Seems to me the Giants have had like 10 of these moments in which it came across like, wow, like they don't come across looking very good, in my opinion, at all, or smart, in my opinion, or anything. I just think it's been a disaster. And like, if I was an NFL team, I'd be like, I'm not doing this. I don't want cameras exposing my executives and making them look this bad. And the thing that really stuck out to me was the owner, Mara, basically almost telling him, you guys better know what you're doing because Saquon Barkley's our most popular player.
You know, it's a very terrible look, but none worse than Joe Shane. And I can't imagine, like, you have the authority. Like, you are watching this and signing off on it. And anyone who's watching this and saying, yeah, you know what? That looks good.
I look good here. I come across good here. Yeah.
like, dude. This is a really bad look with Joe Shane. First of all, let me talk. I'm going to peel the layers back of the onion. First of all, Shane He got played by his buddy Dan Morgan there with the Brian Burns trade. You put all your eggs in the Daniel Jones basket and identified him over Saquon Barkley as the team, as the guy to build your offense around. You refused to pay Barkley. You debacled the whole situation. Then you gave the same money to Brian Burns. But here's the worst part about it is, you know, you got to be real in the game of football. And when you're a fake phony, players see right through you. And Joe Shane had no desire, no intent to sign Saquon. You want to play Fugazi at the combine and tell the media one thing, that's fine. But his conversations with Saquon, he was BSing him. And I think that comes across poorly. I think it comes across as Joe Shane being a fake phony. And I'll tell you what, if I'm the owner of the New York Football Giants, I'm gonna put my cajuns on the table. That's the difference between John Mara and Jerry Jones. John Mara knows that they're trending in the wrong direction. We're moving in the wrong direction, but he put his tail between his legs. And Jerry Jones would have never allowed for this to happen. And the Giants are in a terrible spot. They got no playmakers. And Saquon Barkley is going to do his thing. And I'll tell you what, Mara put him on the spot. He basically said, you better know what you're doing. Your job is on the line.
I couldn't agree with you more. I thought it was a terrible look. And in the big picture, if you're a player in the National Football League and they see this stuff and they see how Joe Shane spoke to Saquon Barkley, how are they going to talk to me? We want to have you back here, Saquon, but we also want to thank you for all your service. And, you know, why don't you just go out there and see what's on the market? But if you can you give me your word that you'll come back to us and let us know what that market is? And you can hear Saquon's disgust. Huh? He's like, yeah, what? Huh? What? Promise you what? No. No, okay, bye. And, like, you can just tell us, like, even from the first one, he said, hey, it's Joe. You could just, Saquon's disdain on the phone. You could just hear it. And there's one guy, Rick, and pardon me for not, remembering the guy's name. It was in that call. And then, great look for him going, yeah, we don't pay Daniel Jones $40 million a year to hand the ball off. So, what, you think Daniel Jones, Patrick Mahomes? There was the player personnel director, Rick. You probably know him personally. Blonde guy. Yeah. He was sitting on the couch, and asked Joe, yeah, and he said, so what's our plan?
Yeah.
And Joe said, well, what do you mean, what's our plan? He goes, we just lost our best player and 68% of our production. How are we going to replace this? So you have the player personnel director knowing, what the hell are we doing? And the owner comes in and basically says, you guys realize he's one of the most popular players we've ever had on this team, right? And fans like him, right? And this is the result. And how about this for people unaware? The kicker. Mara says, if he ends up on the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to end up losing sleep at night. And Shane, being the insider that he is, says, my sources say the Eagles are out on him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always get fired up. Love talking football with Rick Saratella. Let's do this thing. We were just talking about the train wreck that are the New York Giants. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys have a lot of question marks coming into the year. And I find the Eagles, Rick, and, you know, just looking at this division, and I know you know the Eagles organization well, but I find the Eagles in past years were a little bit overhyped. Right? Like, you would have thought that they won the Super Bowl, right? Covers of magazines. Everybody got paid. And, you know, it was like, you know, you didn't actually win the Super Bowl. You've played the Eagles have been, had a really favorable schedule over the years as well, just sort of by chance. It is what it is. And they were kind of overrated. Last year, the wheels fell off for them. But I find this year, Rick, people are kind of sleeping on them a little bit. I don't hear a lot of people talking about the Philadelphia Eagles this year. Due to question marks about Sirianni's handling of the staff last year. And I trust Kelsey. If anything, he's pretty honest on his podcast with his brother. And he basically said, coach is a good guy. Everybody has bad years. We all got knocked off the track kind of in a different way. And he said, like, he was basically saying, and I've heard others say, Sirianni has not lost that room. But now I see a report this week, Rick, and I don't really ever believe reports. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll ask you. I saw a report that there's friction between Sirianni and Hurts. Is that true? And is Sirianni, has he lost this room with some of the guys, not all the guys, but is there a little friction there?
I think there's frustration from Jalen Hurts with the coaching turnover, the quarterback coaching turnover, the offensive coordinator turnover. And basically what happened was Hurts had an opportunity to kind of endorse Sirianni and took the high road and basically said a know-nothing line. And the Philly media took it, construed it, and took it as, oh, well, Hurts, you know, maybe he's feeling uneasy about the direction that the offense is going. I think, look, the bottom line is we saw Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde from Jalen Hurts between the 2022 and 2023 football seasons. Now, could it have been injuries? Could it have been a playbook issue? Could it have been a coaching issue? I don't know, but Jalen Hurts did not look himself last year. Funny, we just got done talking about the Giants and Joe Shane saying, hey, we're not paying a quarterback $40 million a year to hand it off to a $12 million running back.
And that's exactly what the Eagles just did.
And so that's why John Merrick can't.
And they have a better quarterback. And they have a better quarterback.
And they actually have weapons like A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert. Like, there are legitimate weapons on this offense. Kenneth Gainwell, not a bad number two. And Will Shipley, remember that pick out of Clemson? To me,
great
potentially
call.
The best running back in the draft. That's a nice little weapon to add kind of under the radar. So, you know, can they piece that defense together? The loss of Hassan Reddick, Darius Slay, and James Bradbury, another year older in that secondary. No longer do you have the Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce leadership roles there. So there's a lot of veteran presence there they got to replace. But, I mean, I think the debacle, what were they, 11-0? Then they stumbled and limped into the playoffs. They got in through the back door, I think, because they just had a horrendous second half. Jalen Hurts was terrible. The expectations have kind of been dimmed.
One thing we should note, Jalen Hurts basically handpicked the coordinator last year, Brian Johnson, who is a lifelong friend who I actually know just by chance that I saw play in Texas in high school in an all-star game. I'm dating myself, but yeah, Brian Johnson was a star quarterback in Houston. Where's Jalen Hurts from? Houston, right? So Hurts has sort of looked up to him. Johnson's been a mentor. Johnson, of course, was a very good quarterback with the Utah Utes, was the Utah Ute offensive coordinator, and then got catapulted into this Eagles job. And the offense didn't work, but like a lot of quarterbacks, Rick, and I never really expected this from Jalen Hurts, so like a lot of quarterbacks, seems to me once he got paid, bro, he didn't want to run the football anymore. And he took, you know what I mean, he just threw the ball away. Like, he just stopped running. And we could, well, and it was always, well, he's not 100%, he's not 100%, but it's been like a year and a half of this now.
Well, and that's what happens when you have these dual-threat quarterbacks who absorb a lot of hits. Like, we've seen it with Kyler Murray in the past. Can't just stay healthy. Now, remember, they got Hurts doing these push-tush underneath the piles. He's getting battered and bruised and all these big guys falling on top of you. There's a reason why in the CFL they bring the backup in to do all that stuff. So you're right. He's been hurt ever since that Super Bowl against the Chiefs. He was hurt, and then he got hurt like in the middle of last season, and he was never the same quarterback. And when you take the mobility out of the dual threat quarterback's game, he's one dimensional. And if you force Jalen Hurts to just strictly be a passer, you saw the inaccuracy start to occur. You saw the old habits start to come back, and defenses learning how to shut down the Philadelphia offense. So they need to do that. They need to be dynamic. They need Jalen to run the ball, but maybe they need to maybe hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley, especially now Jason Kelce's not there to get that push. Get Jalen Hurts out from underneath all those heavy bodies. Keep him upright. You just mentioned last segment, 18-game schedule, 17-game schedule. Keep the man healthy.
Rick Saratella kicking with us. So you mentioned Hassan Reddick, who's now holding out with the New York Jets. And he probably didn't like how he was called out for not showing up to that mini camp. But Aaron Rodgers got a free pass as well. Just those little dynamics. But he's entering the last year of a three-year deal worth $45 million. He says he won't show up until he gets paid. To be honest, he has all the leverage here. The Jets have, like, are all in now. They can't afford not to pay him and not to have him on the football field, Rick.
Yeah, you know, this is an unfortunate situation. I was told that Hassan Reddick told the Jets he would come to camp without a new deal and work through it. Somewhere along the way, that changed. He wound up in Japan with this anime dress. I don't know what kind of what I was even looking
at. He figured Aaron Rodgers goes to Egypt, I go to Japan. Like, he responded. I don't even know. Like this. Because remember, guys, he got fined and Rodgers was excused, but Hassan Reddick is unexcused. It's like, oh, am I? Oh, okay. Like, okay, I'm going to Japan then.
Yeah. And, you know, you're right. Like, the Jets are all in. They have no choice but to get this done because they do need a pass rusher. They do need to win some ball games. And listen, for all the talk about the Giants front office being on the hot seat, I mean, it has not exactly panned out for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. There was big-time expectations for these guys coming in. And they failed to even make the playoffs once. I mean, how many years are we going on now?
And I have a hard time fully buying in. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic about them. You know, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. He hasn't played football in 2 years. Is he going to be able to stay healthy? Is he just going to be an elite player? They play in a very tough division with the exception of the Patriots. And they are the New York Jets after all. I don't have a lot of confidence in Robert Saleh as a head coach. I have zero confidence in Nate Hackett. I mean, we can go down the list here. Let's just be real. They've put all, their entire organization is on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. Let's just call it off what it is.
And I think they failed to address the backup quarterback position for a guy that you don't even know if he can last the game. If he goes down again, I mean,
Tyrod's better, though. Tyrod Taylor's better than what they've had in the past.
He's an upgrade, Gabe, but, I mean, let's be serious. Like, you're not making the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor, okay? And I don't think that the Jets prepared properly. I don't think they have any contingency plan. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's a hold-the-fort kind of guy, but I got news for you. If Tyrod Taylor is your quarterback, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas will be in the unemployment line.
Next week we'll discuss best football team in the state of New Jersey. Jets, Giants, Rutgers? Rutgers? Hey, Rick. Hey, always a pleasure, man.
I appreciate you, Gabe. We'll chop it up next week, man.
Yeah, we'll start. We'll talk some Rutgers football before the season starts. Countdown to college football kickoff is on. But as far as that NFC East division is concerned, I actually do believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are a great bet. I think the Cowboys are ready to sort of break things up a little bit and restart. I think the Eagles will bounce back, and I expect.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always great breaking it down with Rick Saratella. Awesome stuff talking football. Next week, the NFL preseason Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game begins. And then the following week, a full slate of preseason football. So we're 9 days away from the start of the National Football League preseason. We're fired up for that. Dodgers have the bases loaded right now. Late night baseball. For those of you on the East Coast, Dodgers up 5-1 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Freddie Freeman coming up. Shohei Ohtani, 2-for-5 tonight, 3 RBIs, continues his awesome Dodgers debut in the first season with the Dodgers. And to put in perspective, man, Ohtani, this was from coming into today's game. Ohtani had 120 hits and 30 home runs in his 97 games with the Dodgers. Ohtani is the first left-handed hitter to reach these marks within 100 career 100 games for a team since Babe Ruth did so in his first 94 games as a Yankee in 1920. It's not bad. when you just did something that hadn't been done in Major League Baseball since 1920, and Babe Ruth was the one to do it. Not bad. Pretty impressive. And you know what else is pretty impressive was Paul Skeens tonight. His strikeout prop was 7.5. He went over the number, but more, you know what, that was good for people to bet on him like me. But more importantly, remember he got taken out of the baseball game when he had a no-hitter, and there's always been a lot of talk. Wow, did Freeman, is this gone? I don't think so. Whoa. Freeman just came close to hitting a grand slam, but it wasn't caught at the wall, but deep warning track. It was about 6 feet away from being a grand slam. It was popped up there, just got caught up in the air a little bit. But as far as Skeens is concerned, so we went into the ninth inning for the first time tonight. But ironically enough, he ended up getting his first loss of the season tonight. But still a spectacular performance for Paul Skeens this evening. 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 8 strikeouts, 8 1/3 innings for Skeens this evening. So they didn't win the baseball game, but the, you know, the dominance continues. And Skeens is another one just putting up like historical crazy numbers. As Paul Skeens is the first pitcher with 7-plus strikeouts in at least 11 of his first 12 starts of his career since 1901. All right, since 1901. Nobody else had did so in more than 9 of their first 12. That's from Sarah Lang, which is a great follow. Slang on sports for baseball nerds. So, yeah, Paul Skeens, first pitcher with 7-plus strikeouts in at least 11 of his first 12 career appearances. Wow. Since at least 1901. Man, pretty crazy stuff from, like, being Rookie of the Year to, like, a potential Cy Young Award winner in his first year. And people always talking about, wow, they're going to shut him down. Will he really pitch? Well, they're dialing him up. They're not shutting him down, right? So they're in the chase right now as well. They have an outside shot. I don't think anyone really believes the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to make the playoffs, but at the same point in time, they've got a puncher's chance right now. So his strikeout prop was 7.5. He ends up barely getting there, but he does end up getting there. And speaking of, like, crazy baseball stats, and it's why we have the best of X, but like I said, I saw there's so many crazy things going on, and I'm just seeing, like, it's almost overwhelming. Like, wow, that's a crazy story. This is interesting. I mean, hell, like we just talked about off the top, if you weren't with us, nobody expected the Canada women's team to be flying a drone over New England, New Zealand's practice, New England Patriots style here for the Olympics. We have our first Olympic scandal. But see, this is something that just wouldn't happen now that happened in 1893. So this is pretty crazy. A baseball game in the All-State League between Kilroy and Allentown. Baseball game won by a final score of 2.5-2. How is that? How is this possible? Were the rules different? Was the scoring different? 2.5-2. That's what they deemed the final score to be, although it was controversial at the time. In 1893, a batter fouled off a pitch and broke the last bat in the park, in the stadium. All right, it was 1893, so they were out of bats. Batter fouled off a pitch, broke the last bat at the park, so he walked over to a wood pile and picked up an axe. True story. Next pitch, he swung, cut the ball in half. Half the ball went over the fence. The game ended 2.5-2. 2.5-2. And if you're thinking, no, there's actually, if you look at Baseball History Nut and online on Twitter X, there's actually a newspaper story to it. Because even me, I'm like, come on. Like, who, what team and stuff? So Kilroy was the player that did it. Kilroy, Allentown player, awarded half a run on freak play. Ball hit with axe, splits in two pieces. Baseball game won, 2.5-2. Odds and ends from sports. This is from August 4th, 1893. Old school newspaper headline. So this one you thought you've heard it all, huh? You imagine like having money on this? Like, I just imagine like the debate, because bookies have been around forever. Like, half the ball went over the fence. It's like there's a movie. There's a movie where there's a body on the like the state line, and the body's on both sides, and the cops are arguing about who's responsible for it. Right, like, you know, it's kind of one of these dilemmas. All right, the ball split in half. This can't be, like, you can't lose the game. You know what? I can actually live with it. Half the ball went over, give them half a run. It is what it is. So 5-1 for the Dodgers right now. We're in the top of the ninth inning. Giants have a runner on first base. So if you were with us at the start of the program, if you recall, I gave you the Dodgers to win the game. I said Landon Knack to go over 4.5 strikeouts. He finished with 6. And we said, let's go under the 9.5. 5-1 right now. We're close to a 3-0 sweep in this game. On the other side, we'll start firing off some Olympic picks for you. Rugby sevens are coming up. Who's hardcore enough to be up at 6 a.m. for Spain and Uzbekistan? Let's roll.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's gamble. Let's do this thing. For the record, the D-backs beat the Royals tonight 6-2. They're actually on a little bit of a roll right now. They've won 7 of their last 10 baseball games. The National League West is starting to dial things up, and San Diego victorious tonight 4-0. I left the Friars on the table tonight. They were like plus 100. I didn't really understand that number. I just didn't think that the Nationals should be favorites in this baseball game. So big win for San Diego, who are chipping away right now, and they're right in the mix. This National League wild card is a very fluid and jammed up expressway right now. There's a lot of teams and only a couple of spots. There's like 6 teams competing for 3 spots right now, essentially, in the National League wild card. So countdown to the Olympics is on right now. We're starting in the morning, and I tell you what, the schedule makers didn't do Team USA in a couple of sports any favors here. And I understand they want to open up with a bang. So it is what it is. And listen, if you're in the group, you're in the group. You got to play the team, and you got to play the teams. It is what it is. But if you'll notice tomorrow, so the opening ceremony is Friday, but there's events that start tomorrow. So men's soccer start tomorrow, and France, the host nation, are freaking loaded and stacked with big time Euro players. Like, this is like a loaded team. They're all in on this. All right, so France, like, are sending their best. Mbappe wanted to play, but Real Madrid shut it down because, you know, they gave him, like, billions of dollars, basically. You know, I'm exaggerating a bit, but not by much, right? So, you know, these players, they can't, and he just played in the Euro Cup, so he can't play in everything. But he wanted to, and they wanted him to, but it got shut down. But France are freaking loaded, and the USA are going to be in tough here. And they've got to play their first game against France on the opening day here tomorrow. In France, let me repeat that, in France, will not be easy. And if you recall, you know, we've been talking about this for years, about the same city parlay and how it really doesn't work very often. You know, oh, like you take the Maple Leafs and the Raptors on the same night, or like the Yankees and the Mets or whatever. Like, the same city parlay will often backfire, but we had success with the same country parlay 2 weekends ago, when we said, listen, Spain, we told you Spain were going to win the Euro Cup before it started, but going into the weekend, Carlos Alcaraz was playing Spain in the morning in a Wimbledon final, and he won. And then, of course, a couple hours later, Spain beat England in the Euro Cup final. So it was the double dip with Spain. It was plus 177, and we cashed a ticket with it. So, with all due respect to the American soccer under 23 team here, they're in a lot of trouble against France. Like I said, France are like, they're all pros. Even like the under 23 guys are all big time players. So, France are stacked. They're going to beat the U.S. tomorrow. They're like minus 230 favorites to win in 90 minutes. Don't really want to lay that. You could lay the goal and a half if you want. They probably do win the game like 2-0 or something like that. I would say 2. If I had to pick a score, I'd say France win 2-0. But the U.S. are also opening up tomorrow in rugby sevens. And rugby sevens is a lot of fun to watch. But France are the favorites to win the rugby sevens. And the U.S. have to open up against France. France are 11.5-point favorites in this game. So just taking the point spread out of this, I don't want to pick on the USA, but listen, we're taking the U.S. over 39.5 gold medals won. All right, so USA, USA, let's go. But I'm also realistic, and I also want to win money on the first opening day of the Olympics tomorrow. So let's parlay France and France. France to win the game against the United States in rugby sevens as 11.5-point favorites, or like minus 400 on the money line, and we'll take France to beat the USA in soccer tomorrow. And this parlay is minus 130. So the double dip with France tomorrow, minus 130 to get the Olympic Games started. Follow me on Twitter, at SportsRage, Twitter X, on at SportsRage. I've been posting a ton of Olympic picks for random sports and stuff. We're really into it. And we're going to be on a show tomorrow with an old colleague of ours, Pat Mayo, the Pat Mayo Experience. Every once in a while, a couple of times a year, I go on the Pat Mayo Show, and there's a big sporting event going on, and the Olympics are a pretty big sporting event. So I'll be going on the Pat Mayo Show tomorrow. We'll be posting links for that. We look forward to that. We'll be jam-packed tomorrow night on the Wicked Wednesday. Countdown to kickoff is on. We're like a week and a half away from the start of the National Football League. Great time of the year right now. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.